Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that it will speak to us this morning, that by your Holy Spirit you'll take this word, and Lord, that you will speak deep into our hearts and help us, Lord, to change because of what you have said to us this morning, that we may become more like Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Please be seated. I saw a little bit of television this week. I've not a clue what the programme was, but I just saw a little bit. It was a news type of programme. And they were talking about Peter Phillips and his wife, who I don't know who she was, but there we go. And they commented that he'd been dating his then girlfriend for about 6 weeks. And then she was watching television with her mother and suddenly found out that Peter was of royalty and in fact was 13th in line to the throne. Quite a story if that was you going out with Peter and suddenly you found out this watching television. And it's interesting that it was commented upon on the television, because usually we see the opposite happening in life, don't we? We see people doing the complete opposite, saying, well, because my dad is, or my mother is, and there's very much, even today, a lot about connections and family connections, and because your dad did something or whatever, then you can get into the family business or whatever. In fact, on the application forms for Oxford and Cambridge, it asks you whether your father or mother or somebody in your family has been there before you. So it's still not dead, is it? And so I noticed too that many people in retirement, one of the hobbies that they take up is looking at their ancestry, their family tree. People are intrigued by it. In fact, I would say some people are obsessed by it. But they really want to know, you know, what's happening and what was in the past. Is it just fascination or what is it? I don't know. If maybe you're one of them, you'll have to tell me. And yet, some of them are very disappointed when they find things out, aren't they? And you see that on that television programme. I don't know. I don't think it's still on. Who do you think you are? And famous people look, and with help, they look at their family tree and suddenly find out things that perhaps they didn't really want to know. So parentage is important. In fact, even on the marriage certificate, we put about your father and what he did. It's supposed to be changing, but it hasn't yet. So we'll see. Well, the Jews, of course, we read about in today's reading from John's Gospel, were very proud to call Abraham their father. And they proudly state they are the offspring of Abraham. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, it says right at the very beginning, when it gives us the genealogy, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we know, of course, that Matthew writes a very Jewish gospel from the Jewish point of view. So they were very proud of their parentage. And they thought that was most important. And today, of course, we're looking at the patriarchs, because we've lit our first Advent calendar. Candles, not the calendar, candle. Well, if you've got a calendar, you can open it today. Hope you've not cheated. And we remember, don't we, God's plan beginning with Abraham. And it tells us in Genesis, what does it tell us about Abraham? It says that when God spoke to him, he said he would make him a great nation. He would bless him and bless those who bless him. And through him, all families of the earth will be blessed. And so we see here in Genesis the Trinity's plan of salvation. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit know that humankind cannot ever save itself. And so the Jewish nation became great, that great nation, who declare that God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So what's the problem here? The problem is that that's what they're relying upon. They're relying upon the fact that they are physically related to Abraham. Justin Martyr, in his book, The Dialogue of Trypho, says this of the Jewish belief. The eternal kingdom will be given to those who are the seed of Abraham, according to the flesh, even though they be sinners and unbelievers and disobedient to God. So he is saying that that's what they're relying upon. And we see it here. Their security is in their earthly parentage. We see it in the Old Testament, in some of the Psalms, and in Isaiah. They call upon the fact that they are the children of Abraham. They say, you know who I am because of my great-great-great, so on, is Abraham, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, and how many greats, I can't remember. So Jesus challenges them, and he offers them freedom, freedom through his word. But we have to understand that the Jews were very angered by this, because the Jews, and still are, a very proud nation. And even though we know that they've been taken into Babylon and they're under Roman rule at this time, they set a high value on freedom. And in fact, in Leviticus, the law says that no Jew must ever become a slave. So to say to the Jews that you are a slave was absolutely terrible. They were really angered by this. How dare you? We are Jewish people. We are never, ever slaves to anybody. And so so they say to Jesus, how dare you say that? In verse 33, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And again in verse 39, Abraham is our father. So what does Jesus say about Abraham and Abraham's children? He says, of course, that if you are really Abraham's children, you will be doing the works that Abraham did. But instead you seek to kill me. And he goes on to say, Abraham believed God. He trusted in God's word. He lived by God's word. Jesus said, do what Abraham did. Well, he listened to God. And we haven't got time to look at all the references, but if you look at Genesis 12 and 17 and 18, you can see the relationship between Abraham and God. And more than that, he obeyed God. When God said go, he went. He learned from God. When God said circumcise every male, he did it. When God said take Isaac to sacrifice, he went. And of course we know that that's not what happened. But he did. He obeyed God in everything that God asked him to do. So Jesus is saying here, Abraham put the word of God into his life and acted upon it. And so we have to ask ourselves, is that what we do when we read God's word? Do we think, right, yeah, that's what I must do? Do we ask ourselves, what is God saying to me this morning, this day? We should always ask that question, so what? So what? What difference is it going to make? What must I now do? How can I address this in my own life? You see, we can be like the person who goes to the doctors and tells the doctor exactly what's wrong, and the doctor says, oh, I know how to cure that. Not a problem. Here's the medicine. Go home and take it. And they go home and they just put it in the cupboard and don't take it. It doesn't do them any good. It doesn't change them. Their circumstance, their physical condition is still there. The same with us spiritually. If we don't do what God asks us to do, if we don't apply God's word to our life, then it won't make any difference to us. So when we hear the word of God preached and we do try to apply it to our lives, do we talk about it at home? Do we talk about it in the hall? What did that say to you this morning? What difference will it make? You see, Abraham was a man of God. He heard God's word. He listened to God's word. And he allowed God's word to direct his thoughts and his actions. I think that's very challenging. It's so easy, especially when we come to the Christmas period and we know some of the stories so well. What do they say? Familiarity breeds contempt. Well, maybe not contempt, but you know, sometimes it's so familiar that we don't allow God to speak to us afresh. So that should be one of our prayers, that as we come to this Christmas time, that we really allow God to open up his word, because there are so many more things that God can speak to us through even the very familiar stories and words that we will have read over the next few weeks. And then Jesus says in verse 58, Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. What was Jesus meaning here? Abraham was glad of what he saw. So he saw something of God's love, his protection, his leading, his guidance. But you see, Jesus says, he saw my day. What does he mean by that? Well, he foresaw the end, if you like, of the plan that he was given. The plan to make him a great nation. The plan to bless him and through him to bless all the families of the earth. Abram was able to foresee the Messiah and was glad. In other words, he welcomed the whole of God's plan. Not just the little bit that he could see, but the fact that the Messiah would come. And he put his faith and trust in that too. When he had a covenant in Genesis 18 with God, he said that he would do his part in trusting God and putting his faith in him. He trusted in Jesus. And that's what John's gospel is all about. It's all about what is our reaction to Jesus. Do we accept him as Lord, as Saviour, as the Son of God? That is the test all the way through. That's what John is saying. And here this is what Jesus is saying. What is your reaction to me, Jesus says. Because Abraham was glad. He was glad that I, the Messiah, was coming. And he rejoiced in it. And we need, don't we, to rejoice in the fact that we know Jesus. And that Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough for each one of us. So Jesus says of Abraham, his true descendants are those who receive me. We have to receive the plan that Jesus, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had at the very beginning of time. The plan that Jesus himself would become our Saviour, because we cannot save ourselves. We are all, as Jesus said, slaves to sin. But we have freedom in Jesus Christ when we receive him. So the true descendants of Abraham, as we light our Advent candle and are glad to remember the patriarchs, we can say that as we accept Jesus, as we do what Abraham did and listen to God's word and put it into practice and rejoice in knowing Jesus Christ, we can say that we are Abraham's children. Christmas is all about Jesus. Yes, it began with Abraham, but Jesus is now here. Do we rejoice? Is that what excites us about Christmas? Of course, it's a great time to get together with different people and families and perhaps see people we don't often see. But it's not. That's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about Jesus. That's where our focus needs to be. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Abraham rejoiced. He was glad. And I hope that you and I will rejoice in the fact that we can know Jesus. And we do know him. And our hearts can be excited about Christmas because of Jesus. Jesus is now here, so we can be glad. We can rejoice. And we can share our joy with others. So clearly, Jesus rejects the idea of hereditary children of Abraham receiving salvation. He says in very direct terms that a slave can be thrown out of his master's presence. The Jews would have understood exactly what he meant by that. In verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. When we are children of God, we remain with God forever. But not if we are still a slave to sin, if we have not been redeemed by God himself. Of course, John the Baptist gave a similar warning about the Jews saying that Abraham was their father. John the Baptist says, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." When we come before God, we come just as we are. God's not going to say, "Who was your father?" or "Who was your mother?" or "Which university they went to?" No, we come just as we are, trusting in our Lord Jesus. But we are the children of Abraham when we believe and trust in Jesus, abide in his word, and obey his ways. James says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." Do you remember the other words of Jesus when he said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you"? Obedience to him and his word. Jesus said God gave the beginning of a plan of salvation to Abraham, who believed, trusted, and obeyed, and was a friend of God. But Jesus says true Jewishness, true children of God, true children of Abraham, it's not a bloodline, but a faith and obedience line. And so through that, through Abraham, you and me and all families of the earth can be blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen.